Hashtag you don't have to be Jewish.
Advocate Tseliso Tipanyane, and he's the Chief Executive Officer at the South African Human Rights Commission, and we're going to be unpacking the proposed amendment bill which promotes equality and prevents unfair discrimination act. And I know that sounds like such a mouthful, but let me tell you what this is about. So there's a new discrimination and equality laws proposed for South Africa. Okay. So the Department of Justice and Constitutional Development, they've invited interested parties to submit written comments, which is why we're doing this, that if you want to submit your written comments on the proposed amendments to the Promotions of Equality and the Prevention of Unfair Discrimination Act. How's that? This could be a master's thesis with a topic like that. In an explanatory notice published last Friday, the department said that an amendments deal has two key elements, right? Which one is the prevention of unfair discrimination, and two is the promotion of equality. So the first part of the bill aims to improve the protection of complaints against discrimination. That's going to be done by broadening and amending the scope, the definition of equality, by indicating that it includes equal rights and access to resources. Good afternoon to you, sir. How are you?
Good afternoon to you and to your viewers and listeners.
Thank you very much, and thank you for the time. So I've been through this. The language is very complicated. I've got a concept that if you can explain something to me like I'm a five-year-old, then I will understand it for the rest of my life. So I've got some questions around this amendment bill. Firstly, why are the amendments necessary?
Thank you. The act was passed in 2000. That's almost 21 years later.
Yes.
And it has been subjected to, you know, lots of litigation. As we speak now, we're still waiting for the judgment of the Constitutional Court.
Yes.
On a matter which we as a commission have brought on the Tuwalani matter as to the definition or interpretation of what constitutes hate speech in terms of section 10 and relative 12 of the act. So that also requires some clarification. But secondly, there are a number of provisions of the act which have not been brought into operation. You know, like the requirements for equality plans, which have to be submitted to the Human Rights Commission. That has never happened. Then there are also other sections, for example, which pertain to the Human Rights Commission submitting an annual report on the status of racism, gender, and disability. That section has never come into operation at all. Then you have the section which refers to the Equality Review Committee, which is a committee which basically monitors how the act is being implemented. And all also make recommendations. That committee consists of a number of people like members of the Human Rights Commission, Gender Commission, members of Parliament, both from the National Assembly and NCOP. And that committee has not met since 2017. Then the other problem is that, you know, we have about 300 equality courts in our country, and the last count was that this court only dealt with 600 matters in a year, which means each court is dealing with two matters only. And therefore, that's a serious waste of resources. Because remember, the equality courts are designed to hear matters of discrimination free of charge. Anybody can go to those courts. And therefore, it was seen as a major intervention in us addressing issues of equality. But the failure by government to bring in Section 5 of the Chapter 5 of the Act, that is the promotional aspect, has really led to many people not being very familiar with the Act and not being able to use it as effectively as possible. And then, of course, the amendments which are before us now and are quite useful in the sense that, you know, they widen the scope, but they also, you know, protect people from being victimized when they bring matters. So we see this really as an act, as work in progress. So we as a commission have made submissions as well to the act. Unfortunately, some of the things which, you know, we have raised are still going to be discussed. And maybe when this bill goes through Parliament, and then at least Parliament will consider all the inputs from everybody else. So really the objective is to try and strengthen the Act, which is welcome. But unfortunately, some aspects which have never happened, which have now been removed, like the equality plans, is a little bit unfortunate. But, you know, Parliament will have to decide that, you know, why did they put these provisions there, and then why are they being removed? Because, you know, they were never implemented.
Why? Why has it taken so long? You know, we are... When did we give up on nation building? Part of that nation building is the hard conversations that we need to have. Why has it taken so long? Why are we in this position?
Well, with due respect, I think, you know, is I want to use a very polite word.
Please do. We're a family station.
I think it's really the lack of commitment by Parliament.
Yeah.
We are the watchdogs of this Act. We actually helped in drafting this Act before it was handed over to Parliament. We had a project in the Commission for 18 months. We were drafting this Act, and it was given to Parliament. And we are the custodians. That's why we're mentioned in the Act, in terms of monitoring the Act, in terms of taking matters to the Quality Court. The Commission goes to the Quality Court many, many times in a year, probably more than 10 times. And I think we've done a lot of work in raising awareness around this Act. We conduct promotion awareness about the Act for the last 20 years or so. The problem with the equality plans was the requirement that all organs of state, including private companies of a certain size, to develop equality plans, indicating exactly how they're going to address equality at the workplace, and submit those plans to us as a commission to determine whether they make sense or not. Now, I think there were problems in government, one of reporting to a body like us, or of over-reporting.
Yeah.
So people were saying, well, you know, we can't be reporting all the time to these bodies. So that particular section of the Act was never brought into operation by government. And Parliament should actually have held government to account to say, how do you pass an Act, which is a very important Act, and 20 years later, many parts of that Act have not been brought into operation. So really, to some extent, we need to point fingers at Parliament as well as government for this. This is a very important Act. It's a constitutional Act which has to be passed in terms of the Constitution in order to give effect to equality.
And remember, one
of the most important aspects about this Equality Act is that it basically passes the presumption of proof to the violator. So if you discriminate against a person on the basis of the grounds which are in the Act, like maybe race or gender, once it can be shown that there was indeed discrimination, then the person who's violating the right is the one who now bears the onus of proving that there was no discrimination. This was designed to make it easy for victims of discrimination to be able to have their matters addressed in appropriate forum. So that's something which is still very good about the Act. The challenge really is that because we did not bring into operation the promotional aspects, which makes an obligation for all organs of state to raise awareness about this Act. This has been one of the downfalls about this Act, and probably has contributed to some of the problems we're having today in this country, as far as unfair discrimination is concerned, in the context of gender, race, disability, nationality, socioeconomic status, and so forth.
Well, look, I think a first step is to get a definition of hate speech. There obviously are times when one can discriminate. There are times, or are we outlawing discrimination across the board? Is there such a concept as fair discrimination?
Yes, we talk of discrimination which is fair and discrimination which is unfair. I'll give you an example of a fair discrimination.
Yes.
The right to vote is only confined to people of a certain age. So we can't have 10-year-old people voting because we assume that they are not sufficiently empowered to be able to make a wise choice. That's debatable. But that's one clear example of a fair discrimination. So discrimination has to be unfair in order to become a violation of the right. But if it's fair and it can be proven that it's fair, then it's fine. But also, remember, in terms of the limitation clause of our constitution, can also limit rights. So he can also pass a law which limits certain rights. Like, for example, we say you cannot be a judge in our country if you are not a citizen of this country. You cannot be a member of the Human Rights, you cannot be a commissioner of the Human Rights Commission if you're not a citizen. That's a fair discrimination and certainly a justifiable discrimination against certain people.
Advocate, it is an absolute delight speaking to you. You are so knowledgeable about what you have to say, and thank you very, very much. I hope that it is not our last conversation, and I know that it is definitely not going to be the last conversation that we have with you here on Chai FM. So thank you so much for your time, and we've got to get to news.